Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be in Psalm chapter 33. Psalm 33. Appreciate the fellowship and the meal. It's very good. And just the time we were able to spend talking to some of you. Really did enjoy that. Enjoy spending time with you. And we're going to be in Psalm 33. Psalm 33, I want to read two verses to start. Psalm 33 and verses 10 and 11. Verse 10 says, "The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations." I want to look this afternoon at the subject of counsel. And we see here a comparison between the counsel of the heathen and the counsel of the Lord, and the difference between those two. And it's an important subject of where we get our counsel, where we get our advice. You know, the word counsel has to do with advice or directing the conduct of one another, helping them through a situation. We understand what counsel is, and it's important. It's important that we have counsel. I told my wife, I don't typically tell a lot of stories. I do have another one, though, for the beginning of this. When I was in elementary school in second grade, I had a cousin that was killed, and he was 17. I was like 7-ish, somewhere in that range. And I hardly understood what happened at that age. I didn't really understand things at 7 years old. But I do remember that I had to go see the school counselor. I think her name was Mrs. Chrysler. And I don't remember anything she said. I remember sitting in the room and looking around the room. And like I said, I didn't really understand quite what had taken place with my, you know, I was young. But I was there for a couple of weeks, and there was an attempt to help me there through that situation with the loss of my cousin. It was a time of seeing a counselor. And then the other time I remember counsel was when Kaylee and I were going through premarital counseling with my pastor in 2014. And, you know, and obviously premarital counseling, that makes sense what that is. But I was thinking about those two, the difference between the counseling with my pastor and with the Bobstein Elementary School counselor that I went and saw. And obviously the topic was different for one, completely different situation. But I would submit to you that the basis of the counsel that I received was different as well. And like I said, I don't remember what she said, but I can tell you that there is the counsel of the world, and there's the counsel of the Lord. And I'm not saying that my school counselor was not trying to be helpful to me, and through grieving and whatever she was trying to help me with. But I am saying that much of the counsel of the world is dangerous. It's because it's not biblical. It's not scriptural. I'm not saying that it's all bad, but there is a book in which we must filter all counsel through, that we receive all advice, all, you know, someone gives you advice on doing something, we have to be careful that we filter it through God's word, whether or not we're going to receive that counsel and actually take that advice and do that. I think we can all think of situations where somebody at work or somebody in an extended family gave you advice on a certain situation, and you might have known, like, that's not what the Lord would have me do, because you're filtering it through the word of God. Or maybe you have received godly counsel from someone, and you know, like, that's coming from the word of God. That's something that I need to do. And so the Lord's counsel, it's not, this book is not written by man. I know that he used men to pen it over a period of time, but God is the author of it. And everything, any counsel, any advice, anything that we receive, if somebody tries to tell us, give advice on something, it has to be filtered through the word of God. And if it doesn't line up with what God's word says, we ought not do it. I think it's pretty straightforward. It's no surprise that the humans are in constant need of counsel. It is a need in the world in which we live. And we need counsel. Proverbs 11:14, this verse where where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And I would again say that that multitude of counselors, that counsel has to come from the word of God in order for it to be safety. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. And so the Bible talks about this. It talks about counsel. And it is a good thing to get godly counsel. We need it. There's been many times where I've received it from my pastor, from a Sunday school teacher, from someone at church, and I'm thankful for it. The business of psychology and psychiatry and counselors and all that, it's a booming business in the world in which we live. Like, they're all over the place. There's advertisements for it all over the place of, talk to this person and you'll feel better, and giving advice, people giving advice for, a lot of money. And this is a couple of years old, but if you were to run the stats on it, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, there were more than a million of what they call, mental health professionals in the U.S., and that was 4 years ago in 2022. And really like 1.5 million, I'm sure the number has grown significantly since then, but the amount of psychologists and psychiatrists and social workers and therapists and all those, there's many of them in the world in which we live because people need help. It's just they don't know that they need the Lord. That's why we need to tell them. But they're seeking help. They're seeking counsel, and there is the counsel of the world, and there's the counsel of the Lord, and one of them is good, and it's helpful, and it's needed, and the other one is dangerous. I want to look first at the danger of unbiblical counsel. There is danger in seeking or following the wrong counsel, and it's easy to find. In fact, if there's anything that you want to do, you know that you can go around and you can find people that will tell you that's what you should do. And a lot of times people want to do something, and they don't want to ask their pastor, they don't want to ask their Sunday school teacher because they know what they're going to say. So they'll go and they'll ask someone else that they know will agree with them. It's easy to get unbiblical counsel, but it's dangerous. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1 says, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." And so there's people that they seek counsel, but not of the Lord. They seek counsel, but not of their, a saved mom or dad or a pastor or a Sunday school teacher. They look for that counsel that would be in agreement of what they would want to do, but then they would feel better about it. But there's a simple test, as I mentioned, and that is, if something doesn't line up with the precepts and principles of God's word, that advice should not be followed. Period. It should never be followed. It's dangerous. Look at 1 Chronicles 10. 1 Chronicles 10, we see Saul here mentioned in his downfall, but 1 Chronicles 10, verse 13. And I want to read verse 13 and 14. It says, "So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it, and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him, and turned the kingdom of David, the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse." So you see here, Saul did not seek the counsel of the Lord. He sought other counsel. And, of course, he ended up doing things his own way. And, that was his downfall. That was his pride. He started out really well. He started out strong. And then he decided to do some things he didn't follow the counsel he was given, or he sought counsel otherwise, and that was that the Lord, you know, there was a punishment for that from the Lord, and it wasn't good for him. We see that in the Bible that kings, like such as Saul, they had counselors, right? You had Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor was there. There's other counselors. There's good and bad counselors for kings. You can see that this was mentioned at the conference about the counsel that Rehoboam received. That he received, you know, the old men were telling him to do one thing, and the young men were telling him to do another thing, and he forsook the wise counsel that he received to do his own, to do what the young men said. Second Chronicles 10, actually, right before that, what we were just reading. If you're still Oh, that's 2 Chronicles. I was in 1st. But I have it in my notes. 2 Chronicles 10, 12 says, "So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day, and the king bade, saying, 'Come again to me the third day.' And the king answered them roughly, and King Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the old men and answered after the advice of the young men." And he did that, and it split the kingdom. I mean, he followed the wrong counsel, and it was dangerous, and it was hurtful to the children of Israel. It is dangerous to follow counsel that does not align with the Word of God. And it's so important that the counsel that you seek is from the Bible. It's from the Bible, and I think we all have people in our lives that we know will give us what God's Word says, not what we want to hear. And it's dangerous when we try to seek otherwise. So that's the danger of unbiblical counsel. I want to notice the demise of unbiblical counsel. We see in our text verse, Psalm 33:10, "The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect." This unwise counsel, it will not stand. It will be destroyed. And as we already mentioned, when you follow it, it's going to hurt you. And potentially those around you. Look at Isaiah 19. Isaiah 19, and we'll look at verse 11. Here's this example of the demise of unbiblical counsel. It says here in verse 11, "Surely the princes of Zoan are fools. The counsel of the wise counselors of Pharaoh is become brutish. How say ye unto Pharaoh, 'I am the son of the wise, the son of ancient kings'? Where are they? Where are thy wise men? And let them tell thee now, and let them know that the Lord of hosts has purposed upon Egypt. The princes of Zoan are become fools. The princes of Naph are deceived, and they have also seduced Egypt, even they that are the stay of the tribes thereof." So you see here, In the next verse here, talks about how they had caused, I'll just read verse 14. "And the Lord had mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof, and they caused Egypt to err in every work thereof, as a drunken man staggereth in his vomit." You see, the counsel of the counselors of Pharaoh was brutish, and it was dumb. I don't know the best word to say there. I can think of a word, but I don't want to say it. But it was brutish, and it doesn't work. It doesn't last. 1 Corinthians 3:18 says, "Let no man deceive himself. If any among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, 'He taketh the wise in their own craftiness.' And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain." That's 1 Corinthians 3:18. Through 20. So we see here from these scriptures and many others that the counsel of this world not only doesn't work, it will be destroyed. And God will destroy that. And 1 Corinthians 1:19, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." That unbiblical, ungodly counsel will be destroyed. It will not last. It will hurt you. And the Lord's going to destroy it anyways. We should want nothing to do with counsel that doesn't line up with what the Word of God has to say to us. And if you don't know what the Word of God has to say on a subject, you have to be very careful about who you ask. And because you'll get all kinds of advice from people. I've gotten all kinds of advice that was just wrong. And there were times where I was keen to that, and there were times where when I was younger and I wasn't. And thankfully, there were people around me that were keeping me in check. And so I'm thankful for that. So we see the danger of the worldly counsel, ungodly counsel. But then I want to notice here the durability and the superiority of the Lord's counsel. It says the Lord's counsel. Let me get back to our verse 11 of our text, Psalm 33:11. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. It'll never be destroyed. It's the right kind of counsel. And the best counselor is the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, clearly there's a need for counsel in our world, and we know who the best counselor is. In fact, the Bible says in Isaiah 9:6, you probably would have known I would go here, but for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. One of his names, one of the names and titles of Christ is Counselor. He is the best counselor. And again, counselor is similar. It's the one that gives that advice, one that gives that direction of what to do in a certain situation. And there's all kinds of counselors in the scriptures that you'll see, sometimes good, sometimes bad. In the scriptures, examples of good and bad counsel, like the one with Rehoboam that I had mentioned. But the first use of that word for counselor is when Jethro was telling Moses, I shall give you counsel. And then he gave his counsel that he wanted to give. Exodus 18:19, hearken now unto my voice, I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to God, where that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And of course, Jethro had his opinion, and he wanted to give Moses his counsel for that situation going on with the children of Israel. And you see, a lot of times when you look up the counsel situations like that in God's word, a lot of times it's describing giving of good advice, and sometimes it's not. But the Bible says in Isaiah 14:25 that what Jehovah has purposed, so it will stand. And so the Lord, in verse 27 of the same chapter, the Lord of hosts has purposed. Who can disannul it? The God's purposes, God's counsel, God's word, it will always stand. It's everlasting. And then I think I was in Isaiah 40 this morning, but let's go back to Isaiah 40. When we were talking about the Lord and we were talking about, how strong he is physically and the way that he describes himself in the word of God. But Isaiah 40 and verse 14, these are, rhetorical. Well, look at 13 and 14. Who hath directed the spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? Obviously, the answer to that is no one. He's God. He's omniscient. He's eternal. And he didn't need anyone to teach him because he's God and he knows all things. And so he's the best counselor. Jesus Christ is the best counselor. He has, as the best counselor, he has the best availability of a counselor. You don't have to, Jesus as our counselor, he's always available. You don't have to schedule an appointment. You don't need a referral. Walk-ins are welcome when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can go to his word at any time and see what his precepts and his principles are. You can see examples of when people followed it and when people didn't follow it and what happened in those situations. But he has the best availability. A good counselor is someone that is a good listener and someone that is approachable, someone that is empathetic and patient. These are all the Lord. These are all the Lord. Psalm 72:12-13 says, For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. Right? He's available. Psalm 102:17, he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. And then you can look in the New Testament. How many times did the Lord heal the sick and help those that were needy? And he wasn't too busy for them. There were times when the apostles, they were tired. In fact, there was a time where he said, let's come apart to rest. It had been very busy. They were tired. And the Lord recognized the fact that they were tired. And then right after that, he saw the Lord saw the multitude and had compassion on them as a sheep, you know, as sheep without a shepherd. And he fed them. And even the disciples were like, how are we supposed to do this? Like, we can't feed all these people. Of course, we know, what happened there. But the Lord, many times, he was moved with compassion towards people that were needy. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to minister. And when he was here on the earth ministering, he made it very clear how available he was during while he was on the earth. And he's still that way. John chapter 7. John chapter 7. In verse 37, it says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." If any man thirst, let him come up to me and drink. He's available. He's available. And he's always willing to help. Mark chapter 10, verse 14 says, "But when Jesus saw, he was much displeased." Is that on them? This is where they didn't want the children coming up. "So the Lord suffered the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God." And the disciples thought maybe he was too busy, too important to be bothered with the little children in that situation. But the Lord rebuked them and said otherwise and said, "Don't hinder them from coming unto me." And so the Lord isn't bothered by us coming to him. He doesn't get too busy. He's not too important to come and condescend to our level. I've had people at work who, because I wasn't the same level of them, you know, as an employee, they didn't want anything to do with me. They wouldn't talk to me. They'd talk to my boss. They didn't want to talk to me. That's not the most people aren't like that, but you run into people like that. That they're just too important for you, and you're too low of a, you know, employee level to have that. And that's not the Lord. And the amazing thing is how much higher he is than us. And yet he loves, and he's not too busy, and he's not too important to help us. And Matthew 11, 28, "Come unto me, all that you labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I mean, he's available. He said in John 6, 37, "The Father, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." I'm so thankful for that. I know we typically look, I typically look at the first half of that verse, "all that the Father giveth me," and I see election there and even eternal security, but it also shows the Lord's availability. "All that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." He won't throw us out. We can go to him, and we can go to the Father in prayer at any time. Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel unto the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." So you see in these scriptures, and there's others, it's very clear from the Word of God that the Lord Jesus Christ has the best availability. And he is there. Not only does he have the best availability to help us, but he has the best understanding of our problems. I mean, he understands what it's like to suffer. He understands what it's like to be hungry, to be tired. He came to this earth and lived a perfect life as a man, and he was, as the Bible says in Hebrews, was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I think he understands. He understands. And then because of that, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need." The Lord knows what it's like to be hungry. He knows what it's like to be tempted. You think of that that account there in Matthew chapter 4 where, you know, Satan was tempting him. And of course, every single time, how did the Lord respond to him? It was always, this is what the scriptures say. And that's how we ought to be. If somebody says something to us and it's unbiblical advice, and you know that because you know what the truth says, you say, "No, the Bible says otherwise." And but the Lord, He knows. He knows what it's like to be hungry. He understands our problems. And He never sinned in those temptations, in those times of need. I mean, He's perfect. He never did sin. And Satan urged Him, you know, command that these stones be made bread. And he tried to get Him on pride, and He tried to get Him on other things. And He always said, nope, the word of God says otherwise, and I'm not going to do that. But He understands. He knows our needs, and that's why, again, we can come to Him. He understands our needs. In the Old Testament times, you know, an ordinary Israelite could not approach the Holy of Holies. They weren't able to do that. Only the high priest could do that. And that's how it was in Judaism. But because of the Lord Jesus Christ, he rent the veil, and we can approach the throne of grace at any time. As often as we wish, we can go to Him. We can go to the Father in prayer whenever we have a need, knowing that our needs are fully known already. And He will help us. He will be there for us. I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful for His availability, but I know He understands. He understands it, but He's not just because, you know, He's not going to then give us the wrong advice. He's available, He understands, and He has the best solutions to our problems. He can do something about our problems when many times we can't, but the Lord can. I can be a good listener sometimes, but I don't always have the answer. And I'll submit to you, like, I don't know everything. I'm not ever going to pretend that I do. And sometimes I get asked a question and I have to, go back and study it. And I'm not going to be prideful and say that I know everything. I can tell you I said I do payroll, right? Not a very transferable skill to life. I got friends that fix houses, they fix cars, they build stuff. Nobody's coming up to me like, can you help me with my payroll? Like, it doesn't really happen. So I don't know things. And so, you know, when I have to do something around the house many times, well, I go to those guys, and they're able to help me, or I have to YouTube something. I don't have, you know, all of the answers. But and that's a silly example with, you know, fixing something at the house or something. But with our Lord, He's not like the worldly counselors and psychologists, and you know, He didn't have to go to school to take a class on this stuff. He wrote the Word of God, and He knows exactly what we need to do. And I already read the verse in Isaiah 40, so I'm not going to read it again, but He didn't have a counselor. No one needed to teach the Lord anything. He knows all things, and He didn't have to be taught because He's God. And Isaiah 41:28 says, "For I beheld, and there was no man even among them, that and there was no counselor that, when I asked of him, could answer, you know, a word." And you know, Isaiah prophesied of the Lord as being a counselor, as we saw in Isaiah 9, and we see that fulfilled many times in the New Testament. When the Lord taught, people were in awe at the things He said. They said, "Is this not the carpenter's son? Like, how is he? Well, remember when he was like 12 years old and he was sitting there, and his parents, you know, they lost track of where he was, which that had to have been a heavy thought. Like, we lost the Lord, but where he was sitting there, you know, and asking questions and answering questions with the teachers and the doctors and that, and they were amazed. They were amazed. But he didn't have to be taught. He's God. He's all knowing. And when the Lord taught, people were astonished by His teaching. And Matthew 13:54 says, "And when He came to His own country, He taught them in their synagogue, insomuch as they were astonished and said, 'Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works?'" They were like, how does He know this? How does He have this wisdom? I already read those verses. I'm not going to read it again. But 1 Corinthians 20 talks about the wise words, the scribe, the disputer of the world. God hath made the foolish. God made foolish the wisdom of this world. But the Lord, He has the answer to every issue, every problem we have, anything where we're like, I'm not really sure what to do in this situation. Go to His Word, and He gives us the answers. I believe the answer to every problem in life is in this Word. Sometimes it doesn't give the specifics, right? And those are the times where, like, I don't know what the Lord's will is in a situation, or should I take that job? Should I put an offer in on that house or something like that? I don't know. Or who, you know, it doesn't, like, it's not like you can open up God's Word and see who it is that you should marry or anything. You know, those details are not in there. However, there's precepts, there's principles. And when you don't know God's specific will in a situation, you go to those, and as Brother Reynolds says often, just do what you know. Just do what you know to do. Obey the Lord in what you know. He'll reveal those things to you. And he always does. And so I'm so thankful for that. Christ's advice, his counsel, his teaching, it may be balked at by people. It may be hated. And it looks like foolishness to the world that we live in and to people. But we know that it's the very wisdom of God. It's God. It's, you know, the preaching is foolishness to them that perish, you know, the Bible says. And the world may not understand, well, why do you do that? And why do you do that? Because that's what God's word says. Because he saved me by his grace, and I'm trying to please him, and they may not understand it, but we're not asking them for advice, right? We shouldn't. And where did Jesus learn these things? John 7, verse 14. Somehow I'm already there. Maybe I read a verse here a little bit ago. John 7, verse 14. Now in the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? How does he know these things? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but is his, but his that sent me. You know, it's the Father's. I and the Father are one, he said. They always agree on all things. They're God. And so he said, it's my Father's doctrine. And that's his teaching. And so that's where he got it from. And you can go on and look at different verses there in the scriptures. But the Lord's counsel it's unmatched, right? And he always has the right answer for any situation that we live through, or anything that we need to figure out. He always has the right answer. There's a song that says, Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. And that's the case. And so do you have problems? Well, yeah, you probably do. I do too. And but we all do, but we have the best counselor. And we just need to trust him. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I will guide thee with mine eye. Brother Lentz and our, I was able to, because we are gone Wednesday night, and Brother Lentz filled in. He's not called to preach, but sometimes I wonder. But he brought, you know, a lesson Wednesday night because Pastor and I were gone. And I thought the person that put it on there was spelled eyes wrong. He spelled it A-Y-E-S, but it was like, how's your eyes? Like, yes. But he was talking about that verse, how the Lord will guide thee with mine eye. You ever try to, like, I do this sometimes with my children. You know, you're looking at them, you're like, you know, like, I told you to do that or something like that. Sometimes I think of that when I say you guide someone with your eye. Sometimes you don't even have to say anything, and you just know. But he will instruct us. He will instruct us. Of course, we know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and that's the truth. And so, but there is, so we know from our text, we know that the counsel of the Lord will last forever. We know that he will destroy the counsel of the world. And we know that to be the case. But then there's also, I just want to mention, because I said there's a danger in seeking the wrong kind of counsel. But there's also the danger of not seeking the right counsel, not seeking the counsel of the Lord. There's an account over in Joshua chapter 9 where the children of Israel were duped by the Gibeonites. Remember that? Where they heard about the children of Israel. They heard about Jericho and Ai, part 2. And they came up with a plan to pretend like they were from far away. Remember that? And they were the idea was to trick them into making a covenant with them so they wouldn't destroy them. And so they got their old shoes on, and they grabbed some moldy bread and some old wine bottles, and they went to them and made their request, pretending like they were from far away. And so in Joshua 9, in verse 8, Joshua did ask a question of who they were. Joshua 9. says, and they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye, and from whence come ye? So he did initially ask them, like, where are you coming from? Who are you? Of course, they lied about it. But then what happened was they ended up making this covenant without seeking any counsel from the Lord. And you can see that in verse 11 through 16 it says, wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey and go meet them. And say unto them, we are your servants, therefore now make ye a league with us. This our bread we took hot for our provision out of the houses the day that we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry, it is moldy. And these bottles of wine which were filled were new, and behold, they be rent. And these our garments and our shoes become old by reason of the very long journey. So they're doing their little spiel here. And the men, in verse 14, and the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. That's where they went wrong. It says, and Joshua, and they made peace with them and made a league with them and to let them live. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days after they had made a league with them that they heard that they were their neighbors and dwelt among them. See, that was the issue, is that, yes, Joshua said, well, who are you and where are you coming from? But then he never did go back and ask counsel of the Lord, like, is this what we should do? And it hurt them. It hurt the children of Israel, and it caused them to disobey what the Lord told them to do and to go and destroy all the inhabitants of the land. And, you know, there's no issue, no question or decision that we can come across that's too small to seek the Lord's for his guidance in any situation. Take things to the Lord. You know, he's our great counselor. Like we said, he's always available. You might think, well, this is a small thing. He's interested. And he can tell you what to do through his word. That's how he speaks to us, is only through his word. You don't have a dream, and then he told you to do something. That doesn't happen anymore. We have the whole word of God. But he tells us in his word what to do, and we talk to him through prayer. And I don't have to, and we don't have to cast lots to, like, should I do this? You know, we don't have to wait for some dream because they don't happen anymore. I mean, I have dreams, but, like, that's not God telling me what to do. And we have the word of God. That's where he reveals his will to us, only through the word of God. If somebody says, I think the Lord told me to do this, well, that's against what the Lord's word says, so he didn't tell you to do that. Like, that's as simple as that. We have to, there's danger in not seeking scriptural counsel, okay? And we need to do that. Time and time again, we can read of how, of when King David sought the Lord's will. And so many times in 1 Samuel 30, verse 8, and David inquired of the Lord. 2 Samuel 2, 1, David inquired of the Lord. 2 Samuel 5, 19, David inquired of the Lord. That's what he did. And the times that he didn't is when things went wrong. And but we've seen the Lord, he's our counselor. He's available. He knows our problems. He has all the answers. He is the answer. And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, that's, you know, the verse that we typically think of, and we should trust in the Lord with all the verses. With all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Don't try to trust yourself. Don't trust yourself. It's a bad thing to do. Don't follow your heart. Don't, you know, make sure that you seek his counsel from his word. And any advice that you get that's contrary to it, don't follow it. Only follow his word, because the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He make the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. We have the best counsel. We have the best counselor. We just need to trust him. And then we need to actually seek the right counsel and follow it. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for this day you've given us. I thank you for this time we're able to spend in your house with these dear people. And Father, I just thank you that you preserved your word for us. And it gives us everything we need to do to please you and to live for you. Father, I pray that in any decision we make, big decisions, small decisions, that we would seek your will through your word and do what we know to do until you reveal it to us. And Lord, just help us to not follow the advice of this world. Help us not follow our hearts. Lord, just follow your word. And we just thank you for the many examples of those that did that. And Lord, help us to heed the examples of those that didn't. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.